Wearable technology is with us already in the form of Fitbits, smart sports shoes that analyse your game, smartwatches, to name just a few, and it won't be too long before a range of ingestibles and embeddables will be on offer as well. For now, all of these technologies are optional, but what if your employer wants to force you to wear or ingest technology? Will you be able to refuse? And if you do, will you be sabotaging your career? Craig Baker is a tech attorney based in Seattle. He says there's a whole host of legal issues that are about to emerge in this new field of technology. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
What kind of wearable technology is already being used in workplaces?
So I think it depends on your workplace, but there are a category which are usually part of wellness programs. Those are ones that many people are familiar with where you're employer may give you some better price on your healthcare or something else if you wear a Fitbit or go through some other kind of activity. Then you have a second category, which I think is more interesting from a legal perspective, which is where we're asking employees to wear technology for safety. For instance, I believe there's a truck company in Australia that requires its drivers to wear hats that sense when you're going to fall asleep. There are some construction companies that wear wearable technology so that they can monitor when you might have some potential injury. But there are also a whole bunch of technology that monitors your performance. We're seeing this particularly in athletics.
So have there been any instances in the US where workers have been forced to wear technology, or is it so far optional?
So far, it's optional. And in fact, one of the things that employment lawyers and others have stressed is that this should always be transparent. There should always be the ability to opt out. There has been a growing concern about biometric privacy and whether or not you can, for instance, use biometric time cards where you would sort of use your fingerprint in order to sort of log in or log out through your time card. Most of those laws require that the employer disclose exactly what's happening, why it's happening, what the employer is going to do with their data, more importantly, what it's not going to do with the data that's being collected, and then allows the employee to opt out. What I think is unclear is where that wearable is required for safety purposes. Certainly, you can imagine airplane pilots being concerned about either being under the influence of drugs and alcohol while operating the airplane, or being too tired, or monitoring the length of the shift so they don't violate, in the United States, it would be FAA regulations or whatever the equivalent would be in Australia. I'm not aware of any that's mandated, but I think that there are a number of places where that's close.
Being optional, though, I'd imagine that it doesn't really bode well if you decline. Managers say it's optional, but if it becomes the new norm, there's a lot of pressure to do it, right?
I think so, absolutely. I think that it's very hard to argue that, you know, when your employer comes and says, we'd like you to wear this wearable so that we can ensure that you are performing your job properly, and it's for your own good, it's for your own safety, why wouldn't you want to wear this device in order to make sure that you don't have a back injury or something? It's only one extra step to then have the employer start to monitoring how you're doing your job. And we have seen certain kinds of collective bargaining discussions. UPS, the global logistics company, has, for instance, had discussions about sort of what kind of monitoring you can have on the truck in order to monitor whether or not the driver is touching the brakes too often. And then there's also the what I call the honeypot problem, which is whenever you have a trove of data and that data could tell you something, it's very hard for anyone, an employer, a marketer, the government, to avoid wanting to access that trove of data.
What happens when the technology moves to ingestibles and embeddables? That will significantly up the ante, won't it?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about sensors, you know, there are sensors that start on the machines that we operate, and then you move the sensors so that you're wearing them actually on your body. And then when you start putting it where it's actually inside your body or you're swallowing it, that changes it to sort of another level altogether. You know, what I think is going to be really interesting is where if you start embracing a wearable in one way or another and it provides a competitive advantage, is that something that is okay within the workplace? So let's say, for instance, I'm a better concert pianist because I have robotic hands instead of human hands. Well, does that mean the next concert pianist can ask a doctor to cut off his or her hands and then replace them with robotic hands so that they can be better at their job. It sounds like it's, you know, science fiction or a long way away, but I think with the pressure to compete on a global stage, there are a lot of people who might be willing to take risks that we wouldn't expect.
Historically, have laws been able to keep up with technology? Because it seems, at least anecdotally, we're often playing catch up when it comes to technology and the law.
The law has never caught up to technology. It never will. The question is always, how far behind is it? And even where the law is catching up and you might have legislators trying to catch up, the judges who then interpret those laws are usually even further behind.
What about when workers are off the job, when they've, you know, clocked off, gone home? Do employers, bosses, have the right to monitor activity via wearables? Because that's an inevitable possible consequence, isn't it?
It is an inevitable possible consequence. You know, in the United States, that's typically something that's frowned on. But there have been some cases in the United States that have involved people who have said that they don't smoke, and then somebody will monitor them outside of work and see that they're smoking. We've certainly seen in some of the cyberbullying cases, school districts who've been proactively trying to monitor behavior that happens outside of school activities. You could certainly see how that could extend further into other behavior. So we've been okay so far, but as we start to see things like digital addiction becoming more of an issue, and we start trying to figure out ways that employers may want to protect the talent that they have, particularly in any kind of talent-rich business such as athletics or entertainment, you could see how an employer might very much want to use that technology. And I think in every case, it would start with, well, this will be for in order to protect you and ensure that you're being the most productive and best person you can be. But then the downside, the inevitable element of it is that it will then be used for ill, I think.
Craig, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, glad to do it.
Craig Baker is a tech attorney based in Seattle with the firm Davis Wright Tremaine. This is RN Drive.